Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the Gemara on Daf Nun Vav, we will be picking up with the Gemara on the fourth line from the top. The Dibur HaMaschil is V'eino Oise Yayin Esech Ad Sheyered Labor. We saw in our Mishnah that wine is not categorized as wine until it descends into the pit that's located next to the pressing site. Only at that time would it become susceptible to being ruined, to being passeled through contact with the Gentile. Prior to that, though, according to the Mishnah, even though juices are flowing from the pressed grapes, it's not categorized yet as wine per se, and contact with the Gentile would not render it puzzle, would not render it unfit. The Gemara now asks, as far as determining at what point something is considered wine, v'hotnan, is it not taught in a Tanaic source, in a Mishnah, in dealing with maisrus? Maisrus is the need to tithe produce and give a tenth of it away to the Levi. The source says, yayin mishiyikpeh. It is considered wine from the point that the wine debris is removed from it. This is a point that's later than it merely settling or flowing into the pit. In other words, once all of the wine, also the juices of the grapes, are accumulated in the pit, and only then the wine, the debris that flows together with the juices into the pit, is removed, that's mishiyikpeh, only then is it considered wine. And as far as maisers are concerned, from that point onwards, one would not be allowed to drink any amount of it, which we call even a shtiyas aroi, until one tithes. However, prior to that, one would still be allowed to drink from it even though it hasn't been tithed, indicating that it's not really considered wine yet. Omar Rava, Lo Kashya. There is no contradiction between our Mishnah that says it's determined as wine earlier, from the point that it hits the bar, it reaches the pit, and this source from Maisris that says it's considered wine only a bit later, from the point that the wine debris is removed. He says, Ha Rabbi Akiva, Ha Rabbonan. The two Mishnayos represent two different Tanaic opinions. Disnan, we have a source that says, Yayin Mishiyered Labor, Rabbi Kiva Omer Mishiyikpeh. Wine is considered wine, according to the Tanakhama, once it hits the pit. This would be similar to what we saw in our Mishnah. And a second opinion, Rabbi Kiva says, only Mishiyikpeh, once the debris is removed. The Gemara now, at this point, wants to focus on this issue of removal of debris. Are we talking about, as we said just a moment ago, the debris removed from the wine when it's in the pit, or possibly a later stage, only after it's placed in the barrels? Ibayalaho, kipui debor, o kipui dechavis. Are we talking about, kipui literally is floating, but In a practical sense, the debris that accumulates together with the wine as it's pressed, the debris, the remnants of the grape pits and grape skins, those things float on the wine. So are we talking about the removal of the debris in the bor, or the removal of the debris from the chovis, from the wine casks, which, as we said, is a later stage. Toshma, we have a Tanaic source, Desanya, and you can see this too is in a frame. It's another source. This also deals with the issue of Miseris. It says Yayin Mishiyikpe. Wine is considered wine and forbidden from Shtiyas Aroy. Namely, that's its Gemar Malacha, its completion stage, from the point that the debris is removed. V'afalpi Shekofa, even though debris is removed from that which is in the pit, Kolet Min Hagas V'El Yoino U'Min Hatsinor V'Shosa, one is allowed to catch or collect the juices that are in the press area, that's gasu el yoino, or from the pipe, min hatsinor. This is wine that's in the pipe that hasn't yet reached the pit, and drink from that, even though no tithing has taken place. So in this source, what do you see? You see that the shma mina, we see from here, kipui debor kamrinon shma mina, we're talking about the removal of the debris from the bor stage, so that once again the source is telling us that it's considered wine and usur in shtiyas aroy, usur in drinking any amount, even a aroy, which is a snacking type of drinking, a happenstance drinking. That's at the point that the debris is removed from the pit, and the source says that even though debris has been removed from the pit, the liquids that haven't reached the pit as of yet, one is still allowed to drink them, even though tithing hasn't taken place. The Rashi clarifies Shma Mina Kipui Debor Komar. From here, we can determine that the Gemar Malacha, the final stage of production with vis-a-vis the need to tithe, from what point does one need to tithe? We're talking about kipui debor midiktoni, from the fact that it says, Rashi says here, v'afal pi shekofa koilet min hagas, even though one has already removed the debris, one's allowed to collect the wine or the juices from the pressing site. From this we see that we're talking about the bor itself. The b'chovios, if the source here is referring to the removing of the debris from the casks, ma inyono etzel gas, what's the connection between that and the gas? The gas is the pressing site. Casks are separate entities that are already removed or separated from the pressing site altogether. The Gemara goes on with a question: v'hotani Rav Zvid b'debei Rav Oshaya, is it not so that Rav Zvid from the yeshiva of Rav Oshaya have the following teaching? Yayin mishiyered lebor v'yikpe, Rabbi Akiva oimer mishiyishle b'chovios. That this source is featuring another shiur, another point in time, which would determine the yayin status, and the Tanakhama here says, once the wine enters the pit and debris is removed, and Rabbi Kiva here is saying Mishiyishle Bechovios. Rashi explains Mishiyishle Bechovios Loshon Hashele Dagim Min Hayam, removal of fish from the sea. Mishiyishle Hayayin Min Habor, from the point Rabbi Kiva Shita then would be saying is once the wine is removed from the pit, he Nosein Bechovios, and placed in casks. V'chein Meforsh Bova Metzia Basuchas Apoyalim. And according to the source before, as far as the Rabbonan Shita is concerned, it says Mishiyered Labor. That you can see if you notice a few lines up in the Gemara. You can see there's a double asterisk to the left hand side of the Gemara text where the line said Yayin Mishiyered Labor. That was Shitas HaRabbonan. It preceded Rabbi Kiva. And here we have Mishiyere Labor V'yikpeh under the Rabbonan, which also precedes Rabbi Kiva. And that's so that we have a source here that presents the Rabbonan differently than above. above it just meant entering the bor. As soon as it gets into the bor, it's considered determined to be wine. Here, not, it's not enough that it enters the bor. It's entered the bor and the debris is skimmed off the top. Likewise, above we had the source Rabbi Kiva saying Mishi Yikpeh, and here Rabbi Kiva is saying, as Rashi points out, Mishi Yishle Bechovios. Once again, above Rabbi Kiva said Mishi Yikpeh, that it's determined as wine when debris is removed, and here Rabbi Kiva says when the wine is put into the casks. How do we resolve this discrepancy? The Gemara answers, Tirtza nami lahach komaisa hochi. Re-explain the above source like this, as follows. Yayin mishiyeri lebor v'yikpeh. Here we have used arrows to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, one pointing here and one pointing to the above source. So the above source said yayin mishiyeri lebor. Simply add to that explanation what we have here in a frame as soon as it enters the bor and is skimmed. And the Rabbi Kiva would say, Omar, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Mishi Yishle Bechavios. And keep Rabbi Kiva who above said Mishi Yikpeh, we're reinterpreting that and saying, no, the expression Mishi Yikpeh that we saw in the source above with Rabbi Kiva apparently is attached to the Rabbanon, and the real Rabbi Akiva is saying this, Mishi Yishle Bechavios, as the second source indicated. The Elo Masnisin de Kotoni, according to our Mishnah that said, Eino Ose Yayin Nesech Ad Shiyered Labor. At this point, then, if the above source with the Rabbonin and Rabbi Akiva had the Rabbonin saying wine when it's in the bor and skimmed, Rabbi Akiva talks about wine being in casks. What about the Mishnah that says it's determined to be wine as soon as it gets into the bor, without any skimming, without any removal of debris? It's already considered wine. In other words, the Mishnah that spoke about Achir, the bor, would represent an earlier opinion as to when it is determined to be wine. So, Lema Tulosa Tanoi, should we suggest that there are three opinions of Tanoim? The Gemara says, and we have a little one pointed written in, this is the first of a couple of approaches that we'll take to this problem. The Gemara answers, Lo, Shaini Yayin Nesech, Da'achmiru Be Rabbonon. The Mishnah, which said, Achiri the Bor, is talking about the issue of idolatry, which concerns Yayin Nesech, idolatrous wine. There, the Rabbonin were stringent and said it's considered wine at an earlier stage, being susceptible to ruination by the Gentile. However, the sources above, which featured Meiser tithing, the tenth of the wine production that's removed and given to the Levi, that is a different standard. And we say that it's determined to be wine at a slightly later stage, when either it's skimmed, when the wine in the bor is skimmed, or when it's placed in casks. Only from that point on would there be a necessity to tithe and no further shtiyas aroi. Ula Rova, we're at the top of Nun Vav Amud Beis. This is a second approach. Ula Rova de lo shani lei. Rova, who makes no distinction between Yayin Nesech, namely Inyonim of Avodah Zorah, and Maestris. And how do we know that Rava makes no distinction? He doesn't set it aside as a separate category. Well, we can, if we use our stars, we have a star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text on the top line, and notice it says Omid Aleph. If you skip back to Omid Aleph, you'll see toward the upper part of Omid Aleph a star also to the left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Omid Beis. You see there Rava's name appears. Rava, when after having seen the opening question of today's Shir, where the Gemara had pitted off the Mishnah that said wine is considered wine when it enters the pit, and was challenged, or the Gemara raised a seeming contradiction from a different source, from Maestris, it said wine is considered wine when the debris is skimmed, Rava didn't say at that point, well, the Mishnah is the area of Yayin Nesach, is idolatry, and the source that you're asking from is a different topic. He didn't say that it's they're simply two different topics. Rava said they're two different opinions, Rabbi Kiva versus the Rabbonon. It seems then, according to Rava, that the fact that they're dealing with two different realms is not sufficient grounds for making a distinction. So that this last teretz of the Gemara that said Shaini Yayin Nesach Tachmir Berabonon would not be a resolution that Rava would offer. So what's Rava's resolution? The Gemara answers, Moikim Le, Rava will set it up, Kitlosa Tanoi. In fact, three opinions. At what point does something become established as wine? So what are the three opinions according to Rava? One opinion is found in our Mishnah as soon as it enters the pit. The second opinion would be that of the Rabbonin, wine that whose debris is skimmed off while in the pit. And the third opinion, that of Rabbi Kiva, wine is determined to be wine only once it's placed in the casks. Of course, according to Rava, the Nafgamina, then you have three different shitas as to when a Gentile's contact with the wine would cause it to be Yayin Nesach. Mashi Bebor Osir Vashar Mutar. We said in the Mishnah that the wine that's in the pit, that becomes Osir if the Goy touches it. However, if the Goy touches wine before it entered the pit, it remains mutter. Remains mutter, meaning that if one drinks the wine at that point that it hasn't yet reached the pit, even though the Gentile touched it, one would be able to drink it. Omar Avhuna, loy shanu, that the rest is mutter, ela shelo hichsir gargusni lagas. That is true, provided that the gargusni is a strainer, has not been placed over on top of the press. Let's just give a brief oral description. In a standard wine press setup, there would be an area in which the grapes were accumulated and crushed and pressed. The juices would start to flow from there. They would flow through a pipe, the tsinor. At the end of the tsinor, there would be a gargusni, which is probably a wicker basket, a basket that had holes in it. We can refer to it as a strainer. And from that gargusni, which, as we said, was located at the end of the pipe, the wine would leave the strainer and enter the pit. At this point, we're saying that the wine gargusni that was positioned at the end of the pipe before it hit the bore, if that gargusni was then hung up, let's say on a hook, or repositioned over the gas, the original pressing site, Ravuna says, then the wine in the press itself would be forbidden. Let's read that again in the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Lo Shanu. Lo Shanu Ella. The teaching of the Mishnah that the wine above the pit is mutter. That's true. Shelo Hichsir Gargusni Ledas. That's provided the strainer was not repositioned over the pressing site. Avol Hichsir Gargusni Ledas. If, however, that strainer is repositioned over the gas, then osir, even that which is in the pit would be, even that which is in the gas would be prohibited. The question then is, why is that so? The Gemara asks, Gargusni gufa b'may komitzra. The wine or the juice that's in the strainer, How did it become problematic? After all, we've been saying till now that the earliest opinion, and that which that was reflected in the Mishnah, that something could become wine is when it's in the pit. The gargusni, if anything, was located above the pit. So how is it that the wine or the juice that's in the strainer, how does that become usser? So the Gemara suggests, possibly, benitzuk, from a flow connection. In other words, where does the wine flow when it leaves the gargusni? It flows directly into the pit. And we said, according to the Mishnah, the wine in the pit, if the goy touches it, becomes problematic. So the connection, the flow that of wine, of juice, from the gargusni into the pit would connect the wine in the gargusni to the wine in the pit, and just like the wine in the pit in the bor is usser, so too the wine in the gargusni would become forbidden, usser. The Gemara asks, Shamis mino nitzuk chibor, should we conclude from this that a flow is considered an actual connection? The reason the Gemara is proposing this as a problem is because toward the end of the Masichta, this very issue is a machlokas. And if what we're saying is correct, we could have cited our Mishnah as proof to the side that says Nitzuk is a chibor. And we, nevertheless, the Gemara does not do that. So if our Gemara doesn't use this Mishnah as a citation, as a basis for saying that Nitzuk, a flow, is considered a chibor, there must be a different explanation for the prohibition of the wine in the gargusni. The Gemara answers, Kidetoni Rav Chiya, as Rav Chiya says elsewhere, Shepichsosei Tzluchiso, that the Tzluchis, which is a receptacle, is part of a situation of, we'll call it, back up. Hachinami Shepichsosei Boro will explain as follows. The bor that we're talking about in our Mishnah with the gargusni set up over it, the bor is filled to the brim, to the extent that there's no gap between the wine in the bor and the wine in the gargusni. The gargusni is basically, the bottom of the gargusni is sitting in the wine that's reached the rim of the bor. Therefore, it's not a connection of mere of a flow, but it's an actual connection. The bottom of the gargusni, with of course it's full of holes, is sitting in the bor, is sitting in the wine that's in the bor. As a result of that, the gargusni and its wine content is said to have become forbidden, be usser, and therefore, if I take the gargusni and reposition it over the gas, we have the gargusni wine content dripping into the gas, and the gargusni wine content is forbidden because of what we said. It was a case of pichsosei bora, where the bor was backed up, so to speak, into the gargusni. At this point in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. We see a diamond that appears. This is explained on the outside margin. You see a Mivneh heading, and the diamond Mesamein Tchilas Mikrim Shoinim. The diamond represents the beginning of different cases, Shemehem Nilmad Halochis Shoinis, from whom we will learn different halochas. So, as we go on in the Gemara, we will bear in mind that each one of these diamond cases represents a case from which we are going to learn some new halacha concerning Yayin Nesach. It might be pointed out that the series of diamonds continues for quite a while. It may be cited at this point that the diamonds that we're starting over here will continue till Daf Samach Amid Beis. As far as Gemoras with markings are concerned, this represents a rather long list, a rather long series covering quite a few dapim of Gemara. Hahu Yanuka, the Tana Avodas Kechovim Bishis Shani. There was a child that learned Maseches Avodah Zarah at age 6. Bo Mine, it was asked of him, Mahu Lidroich Im Ho'evit Kechovim Begas. Is it mutter to press grapes with a Gentile in the gas, in the press? Amar lehu, the child answered, Dorchin im oivei kechavim begas. One is allowed to press grapes with a Gentile in the press. The question is asked, V'ho kom in asich biodei? Is it not so that the Gentile will stir the wine with his hands, and as a result of that, aser it? So the Gemara, the child answers, "Ditzayarno lehu liodei." We tie up his hand. Question: V'hal kamenasech beregel? Is he not still having contact with the wine with his feet? So the child answers, "Nisuch de regel lo shmei nisuch." The stirring of the wine or the kicking around of the wine with his feet is not considered nisuch, and hence it does not become forbidden. Hahu uvda de hava ben harda. There was an incident in the harda. The doshu Yisrael voivik kachavim lehu chamra, where a Jew and a Gentile were pressing or trampling the wine, trampling the grapes to create the wine. Vishaya Shmuel tosa rigli, and Shmuel set it aside for a period of 3 holidays. The holidays represent times in which people would get together to hear the public drushes of halacha, Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkos. So Shmuel set it aside. My taima, why did Shmuel set it aside? Before we go further, we notice a triangle, a new geometric form as far as this sugya is concerned. On the outside margin, you see the mivneh, the structural note, with triangles appearing in 2 directions. The purpose of this is ma'akav, a method of keeping track, achar hamasu matan, after the give and take in the Gemara. So, at this point, the question is, why did Shmuel set the wine aside for the 3 holiday period? He was apparently trying to clarify something, determine something regarding the wine which was pressed by a Jew and a Gentile together. In lema mishum de kosovar di mashkachno tana de osar Karebi Nosan Osrine Afilu Bahano Disanyo. If it's because Shmuel felt that if I find another Tanaic source that would teach like Reb Nosan teaches, which we haven't seen yet, we'll see this momentarily, then I will aser. I will rule that the wine is forbidden, even to benefit from, let alone certainly not to drink, but even to sell. As the source teaches, Modadoi, Bein Biad, Bein Beregel, Yimocher. If a Gentile measured a kosher wine, whether it's by sticking his hand into it to see how much wine, let us say, is in the pit, by determining the depth of the wine as it is measured against the length of his arm, that's a measuring through one's arm, or by sticking his leg in it. The Tanakama in this source says that if a Gentile measures the kosher wine either with his hand or with his foot, imocher, he's allowed to sell it. Since he had no intention of stirring it for his idol, his intention was merely for measuring, one is still allowed to derive benefit from it, even though he can't drink it. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Biyad Asur Beregel Mutter. Rabbi Nosson says that if the measuring was done by hand, then it's totally forbidden. If he did the measuring by foot, then it's mutter to derive benefit from it. So, even so, how far does Rabbi Nosson go? Rabbi Nosson goes that the contact with the goy, if it was done in this, let's say, this non-nisuch mode, Rabbi Nosson does say that it's forbidden to benefit from. However, the contact that Rabbi Nosson features and the result in prohibition is with his hand. Amor, the Gemara says, the Omar Rabbi Nosson Biyad. If anything, Rabbi Nosson said that's true if his contact, we'll call it this non-nesech contact, this non-stirring, non-idolatrous stirring contact. That's if he had it with his hand. However, beregel mi omar, but with regard to foot contact, which is the case we were talking about, was the case in Nahar Do'ah with the wine that Shmuel set aside. We spoke there about wine trampled by foot. Rabbi Nosson, who may be a strict opinion, he didn't go so far as to prohibiting wine contact with whom was made by foot. So the question comes back, why did Shmuel set aside the casks of wine for three holiday periods? What was he waiting for? What was he trying to determine? Ela, de'i mashkachno tana de'shori, Kerebi Shimon, if I would find a Tana that allows, that is lenient, that allows what's called Maga Oivik Kichovim, Shaloniskavili Nesech, I would allow these barrels Afilu Bishtia, even as far as drinking is concerned. Rabbi Shimon, in his approach to Gentile contact with wine under non-nesech circumstances, under non-stirring for idle circumstances, Rabbi Shimon allows even drinking. So Rabbi Shmuel is saying, if I would find a Tanaic source that would teach in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, I will then allow these barrels that had Gentile contact with it, but of course it was non-Nesech contact. His contact with it was to create the wine, was to simply press the wine. He wasn't touching it with his feet with any idolatrous intent. So Shmuel saying, if I could find a source, and he left it over three holiday periods in anticipation of finding such a source that would teach a leniency as far as that is concerned, I would allow it even to be drunk. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.